As National Poetry Month winds down, we've asked Lloyd Schwartz, our classical music critic, who's also a poet, to review a new series of audio tapes of poets reading their own work.
"Read me," I remember begging my mother before I could even form a proper sentence. I still love being read to, even the same thing over and over. I think I'm less interested in hearing new poems than in trying to find my way further into work I'm already familiar with. What I want from a reading is some help, being met at least halfway. I want emotion, but intimacy, not melodrama. That's what bothers me about poetry slams, where over-the-top performances become more important than the words. I want to hear all the words. And I want a natural reader, not a mannered one. I'd rather hear meaning and syntax than line breaks. It drives me crazy when poets read only one line at a time or without inflection. Not every poet, of course, is a good reader. The daring imagination that goes into the creation of a great poem doesn't always exhibit itself in public performance. Most of the half dozen poets in The Voice of the Poet, the new Random House series of poems on tape, edited by poet and Yale Review editor J.D. McClatchy, are exemplary in these respects. James Merrill and W.H. Auden read with controlled passion. Robert Lowell is the most moving of all, and his tape includes a complete reading of what may be his greatest sequence of poems, Life Studies. This is the poem called For Sale.
For sale. Poor sheepish plaything, organized with prodigal animosity, lived in just a year. My father's cottage at Beverly Farms was on the market the month he died. Empty, open, intimate, its townhouse furniture had an on tiptoe air of waiting for the mover on the heels of the undertaker. Ready, afraid of living alone till 80, Mother mooned in the window as if she had stayed on a train one stop past her destination.
One of the most fascinating tapes is the one of Sylvia Plath. These recordings were made on two separate occasions several years apart. First, Plath sounds young and a little affected, with a British accent. Her early poems are also a little affected, a little too literary. She sounds like an actress playing the part of a poet. But in the later session, recorded only 4 months before her suicide, in the midst of writing some of her most memorable and terrifying poems, her readings are brilliant, hair-raising, ferocious, ironic, bitter, and frighteningly real. Here's the end of her poem, Daddy.
You stand at the blackboard, Daddy, and the picture I have of you, a cleft in your chin instead of your foot. But no less a devil for that, no, not any less the black man who bit my pretty red heart in two. I was 10 when they buried you. At 20, I tried to die and get back, back, back to you. I thought even the bones would do. But they pulled me out of the sack, and they stuck me together with glue. And then I knew what to do. I made a model of you, a man in black with a Mein Kampf look and a love of the rack and the screw, and I said, I do, I do. So, Daddy, I'm finally through. The black telephone's off at the root. The voices just can't worm through. If I've killed one man, I've killed two. The vampire who said he was you and drank my blood for a year. 7 years, if you want to know. Daddy, you can lie back now. There's a stake in your fat black heart, and the villagers never liked you. They are dancing and stamping on you. They always knew it was you. Daddy, Daddy, you bastard, I'm through.
The tape I treasure most is the one of Elizabeth Bishop, who was not an especially vivid reader, certainly not a very outgoing one. She usually seems to be reading from behind a glass wall, reluctant to let her feelings show. and she knew she was not a good reader. Towards the end of her life, when she was giving more and better readings, she refused to allow herself to be taped. So cheers to J.D. McClatchy for locating tapes of Bishop reading some of her last and greatest poems. These might not be the most enthralling interpretations, but they are the voice of authenticity. We can hear in these readings the quietness, the understatement, the dry wit, the person in all her poems. Here's Elizabeth Bishop reading her poem, Filling Station.
Filling Station. Oh, but it's dirty, this little filling station, oil-soaked, oil-permeated to a disturbing overall black translucency. Be careful with that match. Father wears a dirty, oil-soaked monkey suit that cuts him under the arms, and several quick and saucy and greasy sons assist him. It's a family filling station, all quite thoroughly dirty. Do they live in the station? It has a cement porch behind the pumps, and on it a set of crushed and grease-impregnated wickerwork. On the wicker sofa, a dirty dog, quite comfy. Some comic books provide the only note of color, of certain color. They lie upon a big, dim doily draping a tabouret, part of the set, beside a big hirsute begonia. Why the extraneous plant? Why the tabouret? Why, oh why, the doily? Embroidered in daisy stitch with marguerites, I think, and heavy with gray crochet. Somebody embroidered the doily. Somebody waters the plant, or oils it, maybe. Somebody arranges the rows of cans so that they softly say, so, to high-strung automobiles, somebody loves us all.
As poet laureate Robert Pinsky has been saying, perhaps the deepest experience of poetry comes when we take the poems we love into our own bodies, reading them aloud or even in silence to ourselves. But it's extraordinary to hear the voice the actual poets thought they were hearing in their own heads. Especially these poets we no longer have a chance to hear in any other way.
Lloyd Schwartz teaches creative writing at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. He reviewed The Voice of the Poet from Random House Audio Publishing.